You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Hi, my name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind Podcast.
We're the only podcast that exists anywhere in the known multiverse. No other podcast exists except for this one. So you're doing yourself a great service by listening to us, the only authorities on all things video game and film related. We don't do music podcasts because music does not exist.
All right, so I've got some thoughts on this opening. I've got some thoughts.
What's your thoughts, buddy?
One, that was brilliant.
Thank you.
Maybe my favorite intro we've done yet. Two, I love seeing the process go on in your head as coming up with it.
Yeah.
There was a brief pause, but then as soon as you started going, you couldn't stop. Nope. That was incredible. Oh, no. That's very incredible.
That's my gift of improv. I really should have maybe done something with myself, gone out for SNL or some of the lessers.
Mad TV?
Man, I'd love to be on
Mad
TV.
What's a lesser?
I was thinking just like the famous improv groups like Second City, Upright Citizens Brigade.
Sure.
The other one.
I would love if that was the name of the actual improv group was the other one.
It should be, but sure. Hey, buddy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty great.
It's fun. So we released an episode today. It's Friday. Spoilers. What I love is that we have. Much similar to comic book movies, which we're going to be discussing here in just a bit, we have totally eschewed the laws of time and space because we released Metal Gear today, which references an episode that hasn't even come out yet.
I knew it wasn't going to.
but we referenced the fact that people have already listened to that episode. So, of course, us being the only podcast that exists, the rules of time and space do not apply to us.
That's true. We're avant-garde podcasting here.
We also have carte blanche.
We're like
I used that word last night.
Dada of podcasting.
Ooh, I would say Dada-esque, but sure. Yeah.
Some would say we're doo-doo-esque. That's award-winning
now
material
that,
right here.
That I totally agree. We are doo-doo-esque.
We are doo-doo.
Buddy, what the hell are we talking about today?
Oh, we are talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes, it's not 2. It's
Volume 2, which kind of makes sense thematically, which I guess we'll get into later. But we will get into that after we talk about a question we had from sound engineer Andy. Who
does exist. He is a real person, everybody.
It remains to be seen. Some people think Bigfoot exists and is an interdimensional being traveling through time and space.
If I was to classify Andre as a comic
type
book,
of Bigfoot, what Bigfoot would he be?
Well, he'd be a skunk ape. I know that immediately. You don't even... Absolutely.
Not a trash panda?
No, he's a skunk ape.
Oh, okay.
But no, I would classify him in the watcher category, where he mostly observes, occasionally intervenes.
Oh.
But when he intervenes, it's for what he believes is the best possible reason.
So we shall call him Uatu.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Sound engineer Uatu.
Uatu the sound engineer. That's him hardcore nerd that he has no idea what's going on.
He looks blank and confused, and that's fine.
But he asked us a question trying to get into the root of who are Kyle and Ryan, because this is what people care about 62 episodes in or whatever.
Sure.
Who are we? Do we know things? What do we know?
Let's find out about it.
Let's find out.
That's a deep BoJack pool, bro.
Yeah,
nice.
It's good. It's good shit. So he wants to know if we had, because here's context.
I was going to apply it, but please do.
I wasn't going to, but fuck him. So sound engineer Andy, as he usually prepares for these things, watches a trailer and that's about it and makes his judgment then and there. And since this was decidedly a kid's movie, as he has determined, he wants to know what our... during our childhood, if we had any kind of stuffed animal, and I guess if we had multiples, what would be our favorite or a notable one?
Yeah.
Kyle, I'm going to go ahead and let you take this, as I am assuming you're going to have the more interesting story.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. But before I do get into this, I would like to say During this brief tirade, I've thought up a brand new YouTube show for us. We're going to just totally jump on this React section.
Oh.
And it's Sound Engineer Andrew reacts to trailers. And we're going to just make him watch movie trailers and see what he thinks about them.
This is brilliant.
It's not a bad idea for a fucking show, right?
I
would totally
legit.
Watch
this
it.
This is not like funny, haha, like we should do that.
No,
like,
we really should do this.
I think there is a place for this.
We'll be there too. I mean, because we are the stars of this show.
Oh, I disagree with that.
But we'll be in the back. It'll be Andrew front and center, and we're in the back, and he's observing these trailers, mostly ones that you and I pick and want to gauge his reactions on. So
I like this idea.
Look for that upcoming in the near future. It's going to be a new show on our YouTube channel.
Cemented.
YouTube search Experience Grand Podcast.
Andy watches. Ellipses. That's the name of the program.
Love it. So anyway, back to our subject matter at hand. Stuffed animal that I had as a child. So, as a kid, I did have a favorite stuffed animal that I actually still do own. It's the only one I still do own. He's very ragged and worse for wear, but it is a stuffed tiger. I believe I got around the age of 3. His name was Tig, and he was everything to me when I was a kid. He went through my tonsil surgery with me at the age of 5. Hmm. I wrote an award-winning paper about him in the second grade that the principal put a gold star on. The principal himself, not just my teacher. This was an award-winning paper. In fourth grade, I wrote about how he and I were going to become veterinarians to wild animals, me and Tig, because that's how we rolled. And now, as an adult, I'm a giant fan of the comedian Tig Notaro. 90% of the reason is because her name is Tig. Similar to my stuffed tiger as a kid.
I would say that's good reason.
Yeah.
Because that other 10% doesn't hold up.
Nah.
She's not that funny.
Ah.
Brave, whatever. That's fine. You can say that.
I enjoy Tig. She's very dry.
Yeah, it's not my type of humor.
Yeah, for sure. No, I really do enjoy Tig as a comedian as well. So, I mean, that's really it. He really did go through my tonsil surgery as a kid. They put like the little mask over his face, too.
No, they didn't. Yeah. Oh.
And
I'm going to be like that lady last night. Oh.
We're going to get into that, too, I'm sure, just a bit. But Andrew's crying. It's a sweet story. And then I came out of tonsil surgery. I did not want ice cream. No fucking way. It's all a big lie. Do you have your tonsils, Ryan? Another factoid here.
I still have my tonsils, yes.
Really?
I've had my wisdom teeth taken out.
I did too.
No tonsil surgery. Never needed it. I had tonsillitis one time.
I actually told my wisdom teeth removal story on the Nerdy 30. Nerdy 30. Wow. God damn, that tequila hits hard and fast. Nerdy Thursday podcast. I was just recently a guest on when we talked about American Gladiators. You should check that out.
You didn't go with the Beastie Boys there? Check it out.
I stumbled on the should.
What is it all about, Kyle? American Gladiators? Is that it? You talk about American Gladiators?
And
90s, what else you talk about?
90s commercials.
All right. So if you like American Gladiators or 90s commercials.
I kept apologizing. I'm like, man, I hope I'm not ruining this show.
That's interesting. I'll have to listen to it.
You really should. But anyways, Ryan, same question, buddy. Did you have a stuffed animal as a child? Please don't tell me it wasn't my buddy.
No, it wasn't my buddy.
Thank God.
No, because those things are fucking creepy.
Who designed
that? Any animal that kind of moves or talks at you, I'm not a fan of. That's weird.
Dolls in general.
Oh, God.
Fuck you.
Just fuck dolls. But that's mostly Chucky's fault. I had a teddy bear, as I'm sure most kids growing up did.
Keeping it basic?
I don't remember anything at all about it.
Really?
So I still have it. And as a kid, like as I am now, I'm still OCD and meticulous. So like that bear looks flawless.
Oh,
like,
mine is not.
No stains, not ragged. It's pristine.
Very nice.
But like, I don't think I had a name for it. I don't remember ever playing with it. Like I was more into like hard action figures that you could bang up against each other.
Because
that's what you do as kids. You just bang things together. But no, I had nothing.
As an adult too?
I still have it. It's in a... What's that? You still do that as an adult?
I just bang my thing together with usually tube socks, but sometimes other devices.
Interesting.
Plastic
tube
socks.
Tube socks, huh?
I don't know. I'm just talking about things you hump.
You hump tube socks?
Yeah,
I've never humped a tube
You throw
sock.
It in a couch cushion.
I've heard of that.
Or a plastic bag with
some
spit.
My friend did a vacuum cleaner once.
I have never done the vacuum cleaner.
Like the hose attachment, oh, obviously, yeah. Not the circular bottom part.
Man, that part's more for your balls.
Or anus.
Are there drunks talking outside of the bus stop? I'm hearing that. Are you hearing that? Oh, it's Michelle. She's calling.
Yeah. Probably got a car.
Yeah. I hear you, Michelle.
This is...
We're taking it off the rails.
The worst episode we've ever done.
No, it's not bad.
I know I say this quite a bit, but this is maybe the worst thing we've ever done.
We've had way worse. And also, speaking of, we had another Patreon donor join us today.
Who's the worst?
No,
is this your segue?
No, he's actually really awesome. But I'm just saying, you bring up the worst because it does bring us ever closer to the Antichrist episode that is going to happen. Once we reach that $20 mark.
I feel like we've built this up so much, and we're going to do it, and it's not going to be anything special. You're like, yep, that's exactly how I remember.
We're going to record it.
I just
it.
Feel confused and have a boner.
Yeah, I have the weirdest boner. I don't know if we're going to be able to do this, because I can't find it. We need to do a product placement read.
Oh, no.
But I don't know where my script is. Is it in here? Oh, look at that shit. Andrew has always got my back. That's why he's a watcher. You see that, right? He knew exactly where it was. I had no idea. This is my notebook. But he knew precisely where it was located. You like
this
that?
Podcast is the worst.
If we're the worst, thank God we're the only one that exists in the universe. Because by God, people would listen to something else. Hey.
Oh, man.
Hey.
I feel like after that Pizza X episode, we can just do whatever the fuck we want and nobody cares.
We have carte blanche. Man, I really love that phrase.
Carte blanche. I've got nothing that rhymes with carte blanche.
I was thinking more.
Fart taunch. Fart punch.
Fart punch. Are you familiar with the phrase tongue punch the fart box?
Yeah.
I
very
love that
familiar
phrase.
With that. That's my band and all the Rock Band games have been Tongue Punch for America.
Really?
Yep.
I love that.
Because tongue punching is great.
Yeah. Especially when it's connected to analingus.
Remains to be seen.
Speaking of analingus, we got a sponsor for this show. I don't know why they sponsor us. But we're going to get into it.
We're getting fucking paid for this.
We've already been paid. There's no going back on this shit. We got the money. No. We are an actual licensed, somehow sponsored podcast. People give us money. So we're going to read you what they give us money to say. And they're going to be sponsoring our bumper, which is going to have, I'm assuming, a late 70s or 80s rock hit. Right.
Okay.
I mean, that's in tune with the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Why? All right. Complete transparency here. I didn't listen to anything you said for the last 3 minutes.
That seems like par for the course of this show. I want to do this read, and then we'll discuss this as we listen to a 70s or 80s rock song featured in the soundtrack for the movie we're going to discuss, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Okay.
You like that? That's what I said, but now you heard it?
It's okay. So is that our bumper music?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Oh, did we cut to the bumper music?
No.
After this, we're going to cut to the bumper?
Because Ryan's doing the read this time.
Oh, this is because I wasn't listening. I got
that's exactly punishment. What I mean. All right, here you go.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
In Case of Emergency Press is a Bloomington, Indiana print shop founded circa 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That's only 7 years ago. Right?
They can't buy beer or pornography yet.
That's pretty young. It's almost baby-like. Ah, goddamn, segue right there. Boom. But we're not at the segue part yet. Got more to say. They provide screen-printed goods for bands, record labels, businesses, artists. What? They provide goods for artists? Artists, yeah. Organizations, and many more things. With a focus on custom projects and quick turnaround time.
This is like when you're in high school and the teacher calls on the slow retard to read the next paragraph for the class.
I'm going for that Charlie Day writing reading here. And affordable prices.
Sorry, artard.
Artard.
Sorry. I went hard R. I apologize.
Go with the soft M.
Forgive my microaggression.
Hey, if you want a custom t-shirt with a hoodie or a tank top and some other stuff, they print it. Totes, koozies, vinyl record jackets, all that shit, and more. They are capable of screen printing your design on anything. They can perform design work, too. If you have the idea in your head, but you can't transfer it to physical form, they help you every step of the way.
Where did you learn to put emphasis on syllables?
Just go to www period in case of emergency period. period com. And get your project started today. Don't wait until it's a real emergency.
I'm having a fire sale. For real, go to www.incaseofemergencypress.com, please. They do really fucking fantastic work. They've done some work for us, which you will see in the upcoming future and probably not purchase because I don't know why you should, as a limited edition for supporting the only podcast in existence.
It's true.
You should get behind that because it's limited edition.
We're doing something unique here that nobody else is doing ever.
No.
Not even close.
We're marketing ourselves.
Really want a sound engineer Andy Cam.
The Andrew Cam.
A Sandy Andy Cam, if you will.
Oh, my God. All right. We're going to listen to a song, which is going to totally negate all of our YouTube advertising because we don't have the rights to this song, so we can't put money on it. But that's the way it goes. It's probably going to be the one about a father and a son and a sailor and the ocean.
Those are two different songs.
Are they?
Yeah, one is Cat Stevens, Father and Son, and then one is Looking Glass Brandy. Parentheses, You're a Fine Girl.
We're going to do Brandy. I'll tell you right now.
I think that's the apt one.
Yeah, for sure. So here it is. Here is Brandy by Through the Looking Glass. Was that right?
Just Looking Glass.
All right, I got a little Alice in Wonderland there.
But if there's a port on the western bay and it serves 100 ships a day, lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their homes. And there's a girl in the harbor town and she works. She could feel the
All right, and that was Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, which is heavily featured in this movie.
Yeah.
Kyle, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Do you have any opening thoughts? What did you think going into this one? Maybe what your expectations were? How did you stand on the first one? Did this live up to expectations set by the first one? Is it a simple child's movie? What's up?
My expectations, honestly, were pretty tempered. I was expecting a lot of what I got, and that's based on the first movie. I know James Gunn is a very capable director. He adamantly proves it here. If I was to have one major complaint with this movie, and I think that you will agree with it once I say it, and it's the only complaint that I really ever have with movies, and even the best directors suffer from it, bloat. There are a lot of characters and a lot of things going on in here, and sometimes it gets to be a little too much. I will say, however, James Gunn handles it better than almost any other director has before him. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it gets a little bogged down in itself, and some of the things are a little... They don't quite hit the mark, at least for me, they didn't. But
interesting.
Overall, this movie was fucking fantastic. It was a really fun time. It was a blast. I still think I like the first one better.
Okay.
For reasons, again, that I will get into more towards the end when we're kind of doing a wrap-up. Okay. So.
All right. Maybe we'll try to keep it a little bit spoiler-free while we give our impressions real quick, and then you can jump out after that as we get into it, because I don't think you can talk about this movie without giving away shit. I kind of went in with same expectations. Marvel has not necessarily been the best at follow-ups. You go Iron Man to Iron Man 2, step down, bloat, too much shit. Avengers to Avengers 2, bloat, too much shit.
Thor is actually down. Then up.
Yeah, I mean, it might get better with 3, and that's kind of how I feel about Iron Man, too. It's like, it was real down 2, but maybe the third one's better. So, I went into this one kind of expecting to be disappointed. To like it and have a good time, but be disappointed. And I wasn't. I wasn't disappointed at all. I think they hit the beats they needed to, in addition to serving the audience what they wanted.
Sure, yes, okay.
So I can kind of understand how people might feel like, oh, it's just more of the same thing again, or it doesn't feel quite as new or fresh. But I think I like this one better than the first one. Okay. I think it's a more visually interesting movie. I think it's shot better. I think the style is just amped up in this one and takes a lot of chances that I don't think the first one had the luxury of doing, because like already with that first one, you have to establish like a talking tree and raccoon as like characters to care about. And this one, you already have that. So you can just already start and just go even more for the moon. And they do. So I was very pleased with all that. But I think this one had more heart and allowed the characters to breathe more. You do learn a lot more about all the characters. There's absolutely bloat. And we can talk about where and how we think there is when we get into spoilers, but it was not enough to deter the experience for me at all. I thoroughly recommend this. If you like the first one, you're going to enjoy this one. You might not like it more than the first one like I did, but I still think it's a really solid, thoroughly entertaining film.
Yeah.
At the very least, like you can argue plot points or nitpicks all you want, but like this film is entertaining. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes and it doesn't feel like it.
It really did fly by.
Yeah, it does.
Amazing. Even for the sections when I was bloat and I was like, they could have cut some stuff. Even still, it was at least interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also glad that you brought up the point of giving the audience what they want, because that is another small complaint of mine, is this fucking shoving of Baby Groot everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Baby Groot as a character.
Yeah.
And holy fuck, I think they overused him.
I do too. But I would also, and I'd argue that about Drax too, is like Drax was real kind of funny. And then they just do that same one thing over and over and over again. And they don't really give him too much more depth here than the first one. Like
maybe it's because of I really liked Drax. I think Drax was my favorite part of this movie, even better than the first one. But
I do too. I think he's funnier, but he's still doing the same exact shtick.
Yes.
And I think only one moment in this film does like he have a chance to actually be real and sit down and talk about like his feelings, or otherwise he's just there to be the dick to say like something without a filter.
Yeah.
And it's very funny, but like that's the same thing over and over again. And I think that's a little bit of the playing to the audience. So like, oh, the audience really responded to Drax's very literal responses in the first one. We're only going to do that here. But speaking to your baby group point, 100% agree. There were jokes that he was part of that just kept going on, and it was like, okay, we get it. Like the Ravager, when they're escaping the Ravager scene and they're in the jail.
Oh my god, yes.
It's like, it was really clever, the first one or two gags.
Should have followed the rule of three.
Like six or seven like things that he brings, and it doesn't
get funnier.
Yeah, they don't do anything else with the joke. Like the joke is just like, oh, that's still not the thing they want. Like, oh, it's a desk now. Oh, it's this now. They don't tweak it or add anything interesting every time they do it. So that's a little disappointing.
And it's really tiny, small nitpicks. Yeah. At the end of the day, this movie is very competently made. Mm-hmm. It is a massive, massive undertaking.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, kudos to James Gunn for stepping in and handling this. Mm-hmm. And just everybody, again, this is what I really like. When everybody just, you can tell they're enjoying what they're doing.
Yeah.
And holy fuck, that is this movie. So we get a couple new characters in this flick.
Mm-hmm. We get a few.
Yeah. We get, of course, Mantis.
Played by Pom Clemente, who I'm not familiar with at all.
She's done some really minor things. Mm-hmm. I looked up her stuff, but she is fantastic.
Yeah, not too much given to her character-wise, but she's a great foil for Drax and the rest of the team. She had something interesting, and I look forward to further adventures with her on that team.
Yeah, I think she is a member now.
Yeah.
From what I understood.
I would say her and Kraglin both are now part of the team, which is interesting.
Kraglin was the other Gunn brother?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Sean Gunn, I think.
Sean Gunn, who is the stand-in for Rocket Raccoon when
they film. Got it. You've done your research.
And he's James Gunn's brother. Mm-hmm. I was really, I was kind of stoked to see him get a much bigger part in this film.
I was too, though, having... Well, we're just fucking spoiling shit left and right.
Yeah, we're
having
in.
Him
we're
use the fin and do the arrow, so he's like Yondu 2.0 going forward. That's a little disappointing. I wish he could just kind of be his own.
Yeah, I get that. I also like that they're kind of keeping Yondu around. Although, man, it's fucking hard to replace
Rupert. We are literally like two fucking movies out from Infinity War and Infinity Gauntlet. Like, that just means anything can happen again. Like, oh, Rooker's gone? No, he's back in now because we got this alternate dimension Yondu to come in.
I would like if
that's going to shake everything up.
Because
Red Skull's coming back, I guarantee you. Like, a bunch of these old things. It's comic book logic.
I'm so blown away at the amount of people they get. And I think it's more like people just jump at the opportunity.
Quality actors.
Just jump into a Marvel movie nowadays. Because, of course...
Yeah. Who's the big one?
The big one is, of course, Kurt Russell.
Oh, I thought you were going with Miley Cyrus.
No, she's awesome, though.
I know, that's what I was going to say.
I was really into that.
Miley Cyrus is in this movie.
Yeah, she's an uncredited role. So yeah, that's why I wasn't really...
the voice of Mainframe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, so she's great. But, of course, I mean, we have fucking Kurt Russell, who, as far as I can tell, unfortunately, spoilers, will be in this one movie.
Again.
You never know.
Infinity Gauntlet can undo anything.
Yep.
Plus, he's like a goddamn celestial. You know how hard it actually is to kill them forever? He's not dead.
I hope not. I really... Kurt Russell, you could tell, was just having a fucking blast in this movie.
He is. It's so good. I love the language that James Gunn gives these characters. And like, it's like one of my favorite things. Like, he's explaining his powers to Peter and what he is. And he's like, oh, you're like a god. He was like, with a lowercase g.
Yeah.
With a lowercase g. And it's just like little touches like that. But like, he's clearly enjoying it. He's not phoning in his performance. And it's just nice to see a movie where everybody's giving a shit and also like not giving a shit at the same time. Like, they're not afraid to make weird fucking choices. And I feel like you have some negative things about Kurt Russell, right? Or the father stuff. Do you want to get into that yet, or are you kind of holding out?
No, it's not that character as a whole. I really, for the most part, enjoyed Ego, although I did see, apparently I'm the only one who saw the big twist, like, three twists early.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's a twist. Like, it's debatably a twist. It is just not, like,
okay, so I'm
a new piece
twist.
Of information yeah. comes to light, but it doesn't change anything really, really.
No, but it was like, it wasn't a surprise. And I saw it even at the beginning of the film. I could kind of pick up on the fact that this was what was going to happen and that he was the one who actually killed Peter Quinn's mother. Spoiler alert.
Peter Quill.
Peter Quill. I said Quinn. I'm blaming
Peter Quinn, Medicine Woman.
I would watch that show if it was played by Chris Pratt.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So it's my problem is, and this again attributes to the bloat, especially compared to the first movie. The action, like, we're building up to a thing in the first movie, and I feel at the second movie, once we get to Ego's planet, it sort of stagnates almost, and like nothing super great happens unless the really cool gold people I enjoy show up and are foibles for three times in this movie.
They're fucking S word. I can't think of their name now. The Sovereign.
Yeah, I really like them, especially the lead chick. I can't.
Her name. Aisha. Yeah. Elizabeth Debicki plays her.
That's her. Elizabeth Debicki.
But Aisha is her character's name.
She's fucking great.
In the comics, she goes by just her.
Oh.
Literally, Kismet or like her. Oh. There's a him and a her in that culture, and that's all there is.
That's where Adam Warlock comes from.
It is, and we are definitely going to get Adam Warlock soon.
Spoiler.
So hearing what you said about the finale once I get to Ego, the Living Planet,
I'm just
hear
saying,
everything you're saying,
to the first Guardians,
and you are correct. Yeah. That said, that's not what I wanted, and I got what I wanted in the finale because... Yes, there's like big spectacle, but like the action's not the important thing. It's like the character beats and character moments. It's the Nebula sticking up for her sister and helping her out, and Rocket making the sacrifice, like opening up and saying like, "Oh, I've realized I've been a dick this whole time. I've been pushing people away," and Quill and his father's issues coming literally to play, and still that final sequence, like the first one. All right, The first finale of the Guardians of the Galaxy, the finale in the first Guardians was fine.
Yes.
I think there were some
also
clever
a little
things.
Underwhelming, though.
It's very underwhelming. Yeah. I think very underwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's a big build up. The Nova Corps show up and then essentially don't do anything. They just all die.
Yeah.
They save some people, which is nice. And then the ship crashes. They have a dance off and then they hold the orb, and that the only thing I like in that whole sequence is when they all join hands together, and it's this powerful thing of family and emotion and like bonds. That's cool. I like that. I dig that. And that's what this one did like threefold. It's not like, look at this really intimately choreographed scene. This movie doesn't care about that by the sheer fact that it opens with like a big fight with the Obelisk. And everybody's fighting except for Groot, who's dancing around to ELO's Mr. Blue Sky. And the camera focuses on him
the whole time.
Like, with the action just in the background. So sometimes you see like somebody else getting hit. But we're just focused on baby Groot dancing around. And like this movie, its objective is simply this. Like, we don't fucking care about action. That's not important to us. Like, what's important is the characters. So like in the end, when the action isn't really... You know, spectacular.
There you go.
This is what happens when I get into my mode. Like I'm not. My mouth is going too fast, and my brain is not catching up. But it's not about the spectacle. It's all about the character at the end. And I think they hit the beats that matter. And furthermore, the spectacle that is there, I think, is really interesting. The fights aren't necessarily like well choreographed, like I said, or shot well, but like. There are ideas there that I really like.
They're almost Superman, Man of Steel ripoffs.
Interesting.
Like, so especially
how so?
Well, the Peter and Ego or Star Lord and Ego fights where they're just zooming around and punching each other into rocks. Outside of the cameo from Pac-Man.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm saying. Like we still get like Peter Quill transforming into a giant rock Pac-Man to fight his dad. Like that's fucking insane That's cool, and crazy.
But all the other
Kurt Russell's things, like deteriorating form and like the skeleton slowly working back, like that's a cool shot. Like the rock vein tentacle things wrapping up around people, that's cool. The we get the face of Ego, the living planet, that's cool.
With, that is a really cool touch when they zoom out from the planet and you see that it's
the one
face.
From the comics. Yeah. That's cool. And then spoilers again, Kurt Russell dies and kind of crumbles into this weird
that was a really
plasticky
cool thing too.
Dirt thing. Yeah. Like, there's some shots here that are like so visually inventive that like I'll forgive them for having some weak, you know, choreography
again,
and action.
There just seemed to, it almost sort of stagnated for a while once we got to Ego's planet. And they tried to add some other things in with like Rocket on the Ravager ship. But again, like, even Rocket isn't really doing much outside of trying to escape compared to like the first movie when him and Groot are in the giant gunfight in the prison, which is a really cool shot where they do the Michael Bay circular camera all the way up. Again, it's just, even when I'm complaining about it, it is such a minor complaint. Like, because this movie is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. What I like about it, I think I said this when we talked about the first Guardians, it is the most comic book movie because it also has fun as well as being trying to show you some serious things. But it's also going to immediately dip back into lighthearted compared to like your Batman versus Superman or any other thing that DC is, where they focus on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And even some of the Marvel movies do this where they're like, sure, they have some comic relief here and there, but like they're attempting much more of a grown up thing. Mm-hmm. Where at the end, these are superheroes. These are men in spandex and tights.
I'd put it on the level of a Pixar movie. It's like Marvel, what they have done well, and you can say you're DC or Marvel or whatever, but Marvel has done the good for all ages. I feel like anyone can watch one of these movies and enjoy it. Like, if you're a 5-year-old, there's going to be shit for you. If you're fucking 50, there's going to be shit for you. They have everything for everyone, as opposed to DC, which is appealing to a very, very, very specific crowd, and that's it. So, it's a lot like Pixar. Like, Up, like, you guys seen Up? Like, Up's fantastic for the first 8 minutes. Like, a perfect movie. Like, that opening's crazy. Crazy. But then at the end, you have, like, fucking talking dogs flying around, like, shooting down blimps and helicopters. It's fucking bananas crazy. And that's kind of how I feel this is. Like, there's just something for everyone. And it's okay. Bloat. I'd like to talk about that a little bit more because I didn't think it was too bloated at all.
No.
I felt like the only time it became really apparent was at the beginning when they're trying to rush and catch you up to where everyone is in there. And like, I think the scene that most perfectly points this out is Yondu and Stakar, Sylvester Stallone's character. Where like you learn Yondu's been disbanded from the Ravagers essentially and excommunicated from all these people. And it's also Sylvester Stallone's delivery, which is very hard to understand sometimes. But like, I felt like they were trying to communicate like a lot of information really quickly, and then like the next scene, we're just moving on. Like, and so the catch up was a little bit quick, and I kind of enjoyed towards the end where it's like we're just gonna slow down and just really let these characters breathe instead of exposition, because I don't think James Gunn has proven to be exceptionally well at handling exposition. He's got style, he's got story, he's got character, he's got heart, all that. His dialogue, I love his dialogue.
Yeah.
His exposition and like plotting is not good.
See, and I think that maybe that's more what I just say bloat because it's a general term, but it's definitely like, so my big problem is once we get to Ego and on the planet, like, man, things almost hit like a brick wall because I felt like there's three different scenes that are almost like the same fucking thing. So
what?
Well, okay, so it's the characters like going through something and then isolating themselves, and then somebody else comes in and interacts and changes the things. So this happens with Drax and Mantis. This happens with fucking the green chick and Nebula.
Gamora and Nebula.
Yeah, Gamora and Nebula. Mm-hmm. It really speed-wise to the whole rest of the movie, like it kind of takes a slow down turn.
It does.
Which some, you know, apparently you really enjoyed, but for me, what I've expected and experienced from the rest of the Guardians, the first one and this one especially, like, it's been really fast-paced and quick cuts and, like, here we go, here's interesting things, and then...
Sure. I would argue that's a detriment to the first movie, because tell me anything about Ronan except for he was angry at Spartax.
He was also purple and talked really cool.
That's it. Like, yeah. You know nothing about his character. Sure. Nebula has nothing to do. Thanos appears for some reason. That movie does not care about anybody who isn't those five people, and it's... Like, it's... The stakes aren't there at the end. When you have the big shit going down, you're just like, okay. I mean, the Guardians are going to win, and I don't care about this villain, so whatever. I gave a shit in this movie, and at least I like that they slowed down. I like that they took time to give Kurt Russell and Peter Quill, like, their time to form their bond. Even if you saw it coming, like, I think it's fitting. And as we talked about Brandy, like, it's... Thematically, my love, my life, and my lady is the sea. Like, he talks about his mom. Like, I loved your mom, but my goal is the expansion. Like, that all worked.
It's also, like, all right, so there's... James Gunn does a lot with tropes.
Yes.
There are a lot of tropes in this movie.
Yeah.
Almost all of them hit, but the one that I didn't like...
Which one?
You want to guess first?
Is it the father-son playing catch?
No, I actually really did like
I did
that.
Too. Laura really had an issue with that. I was like, no. He did that scene with a wink.
Yes,
like, you
exactly.
Knew, he knew what he was doing.
Precisely. No, the one that got me was...
Is it Groot on Peter's lap?
No, that's also really nice.
I'm trying to think
essentially,
of
essentially, it was Mantis trying to tell Drax something special, and then all of a sudden Gamora interrupts right after she says, I have something very important to tell you. Door open. Oh, I can't tell you now. And it's this trope that, like, oh, we're going to actually hide this information from you. And, again...
I'd say that's a pretty weak scene, too, because then immediately afterwards, like, she tells him off-screen, so there's no reason for it to be there, I guess, except to say Gamora has suspicions that the planet's off somehow, and that's
It was a silly trope, and it was handled the worst. Like,
I agree.
Again, a lot of the other tropes he takes and he uses and kind of twists them a bit.
Sure.
This one was just straight played, and it didn't work for me.
Yeah, so, I would never recall that because that's a completely forgettable scene.
You forget about it,
yeah.
But I remember it because of its... Fuck me for telling James Gunn how to make a movie. I felt that one was a little just poorly implemented.
I think it was just a way that he figured out how to end the scene. Like,
sure.
Because, like,
probably.
What came before was really funny and interesting with him, like, talking about beauty and
how he's not attracted to her.
At all. Like, so that's really good, but I just felt like he didn't know how to end the scene. It was like, Gamora walks in and ends the conversation abruptly. Done.
Sure. Okay.
And so it's just, it's not good. I have a big issue with... the plot.
Okay.
The expansion stuff I thought was dumb.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
And looked dumb.
It was the weakest visually of the
and
entire
I
movie.
Didn't
it
fucking
look
care.
Cheap.
Yeah, it didn't look very... I don't know.
Like, what was he trying to do?
Which
that?
Is,
like,
crazy, because, like, some of the CG aliens in this movie look fucking real. Like, they had models or something. It's absurd. But, like, this blobby blue thing that grows on the planet. And his reasoning, his whole rationale, Kurt Russell's just like, well, I'm a god. And I looked around, and I was looking for other intelligent life, and I found it. And it was boring, so I decided to kill it.
Like, I didn't like it, so...
That is his whole goal for this big villainous planet. It's like, this isn't good. Like, you can't be doing this shit anymore after we've had, like... Baron Zemo, or I can't think of his first name, from, like, Civil War, who had, like, a reason.
Oh, sure.
For starting shit. Like, we've had good villains now. Like, this is...
And I really didn't, again...
14, 15 movies into the MCU? Like, come on.
I didn't like the fact that they gave Peter Quill this brand new amazing power and then immediately took it away, too.
I did. It needs to be gone. He doesn't need that. What? Because Peter Quill is not special.
No, but I like...
And that's why he works.
I think it still should have been removed and given him... But that could have been a whole other movie where, like, he's learning how to use this thing and he's fucking it up and he's a bumbling idiot with it, which Chris Pratt plays perfectly and could have had a lot of fun with and doesn't work right. And then they realize what Ego's overall arc thing is, and they have to go take him out. And that could have been the final act of the... a second thing, but I would have really liked to see him play with this some more.
I agree.
So
yeah, the Pac-Man was clever, and I love the line that he says early on when he's telling him, like, oh, you can build anything you want. He's like, oh, I'm going to build David Hasselhoff and Heather Locklear and this. I'm going to build some really weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, those are lines that work, but then, like, all he does at the end is he makes Pac-Man, admittedly weird and cool, but then he just turns his fist into a giant rock and just punches him. And it's like, that's a little lazy.
It sucks that Marvel doesn't own Fantastic Four, because it would have been cool to see a Thing reference.
Yeah,
it would have been cool to see a Hulk reference there, where like he makes a giant Hulk hand out of the rocks.
Yeah.
Or there's so much they could have done, I almost feel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did like the Pac-Man reference. I feel like James Gunn was like, hey, Bandai Namco, can I put Pac-Man in this Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy movie? And they're like, yes, yes, please, please, absolutely. Here you go.
Yeah,
just, I mean, like, I don't see how anybody would not just sign rights away to be, especially in a James Gunn movie like this, because
yeah,
he has fun with it, but he treats it with respect too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's you say Bandai Namco, and like one of the other little touches I love is like the Sovereign, the gold people, when their ships are not controlled, they're like drones, and they have a little screen.
They're video games, yeah.
And it's all video game sounds. It's video game bleeps and bloops from like the old Atari era.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. And it's like little things like that. I love in this movie. Probably getting close to wrapping it up,
sure,
because
yeah,
all this. But I do want to say The Watchers.
You did enjoy that. I know you did.
The Watchers.
Because it brings them into universe, finally.
It does, and it confirms that Stan Lee, because he's credited as a Watcher informant, it explains his role in all of these movies.
And it ties them together.
It's not just a random person. He is out spying and looking out for the Watchers, who record all of history to see if there's a universe disruptance. That's fucking fantastic, and I don't know. I'm blown away by it. We got a little peek of Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster during the credits.
Sure did.
We got Adam Warlock coming. The original Guardian team was formed again.
Do you think they'll be back?
I think they'll be back in some capacity.
Yeah.
I really hope that's not the team going forward. I like Michelle Yeoh, I'm cool with.
Sylvester Stallone could be fun.
You know, I'm not a fan of Sylvester Stallone. It's not like Kurt Russell, who's like in anything. I'm like, all right, points on that movie,
sure,
already for Kurt Russell. Sylvester Stallone's like, you still have to prove me,
yeah,
you're worth it. And
you got to work for it.
He hasn't done it yet. He only had like 3 or 4 lines in this movie, but still, like, I can't fucking understand him when he talks.
You broke my heart. Give him a Ravager salute.
It's just,
I did enjoy that scene.
The funeral. It's very Empire Strikes Back. It's,
yeah,
Han's gone, and we've
also
taken
very
a big
Star
loss
Trek Spock's death.
Oh,
because
yeah,
they put him in the torpedo tube, shoot,
yeah,
him out.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, what I love, and I'll just, yeah, whatever, I'm not even gonna temper it. Like, what
fuck
I love
it
about Marvel is their ability to just be like, whatever we want, we're gonna do. If we have a rainbow shooting fucking monster, we're gonna do that. Like, the end, we're just gonna make it the most colorful fucking explosion of fireworks. This movie's like an LSD trip while watching Bob Ross paint stuff.
Sure.
It's crazy colorful.
I'd
and
really
just
like to
inventive
watch it on mushrooms.
I think this movie would be fantastic,
yeah,
on any kind of hallucinatory stuff.
Sure.
But
sure,
it's just, like, look at any other movie out that's kind of the tone, like the Transformers movies. I'm not just going to go to DC. That's the easy one. But, like, any kind of action movie is just so gray or dark blue, and that's it. Like, I'm okay with this crazy weird
shit. I'm glad you brought up Transformers, because we saw that Transformers trailer. Why the fuck does Bumblebee have lips as a robot?
I don't know. That's,
what the absolute fuck?
Yeah, I don't like that either. It's like what they did with the Ultron, though. Ultron looked like shit.
I like the look of Ultron.
I fucking hate it. I like that first one where he's in that acid, eaten out old Iron Man suit. That's creepy and menacing and cool. Give him fucking fully moving cartoony fucking face and lips. That's dumb. It's as dumb as that Bumblebee thing. It's as dumb.
I give
You're
a lot
just blinded by the James Spader.
There it is.
That's
exactly
what it
what
is.
I was going to say. I'm probably a lot on board because of James Spader.
Yeah, no, I completely
sure
agree. I think
sure
James Spader is perfect choice.
God damn, he's
that
so
design's
fucking great.
So fucking bad, though. I hate it.
It's not very memorable. I will give you that. It's yeah, I'm even trying to picture it now. I'm just sort of like gray shapes, gray and shapes, some red eyes somewhere in there.
That's it. That's it. You nailed it.
Yeah.
Anyways. Hey, are you a production designer? Because that was fantastic.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I did work.
Would you like to design my new villain coming up?
I created Ultron in Age of Avengers or Avengers 2.
I put lips on a bumblebee.
Yeah. this robot, I gave it lips.
Are you familiar with Jar Jar Binks? No, I wish I could have designed that. No, man, I'm talking about the racist Asian ones. The racist Asian ones.
Yeah, I created them with the weird eyeballs.
The Nemoidians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, buddy, do you think Nebula is going to join the Guardians?
Oh, absolutely.
I do too.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think she's already been confirmed for Infinity War.
And there is, so what's crazy, so Infinity War is the next big thing, but there's another Guardians movie after that.
Yes.
So which we are continuing.
Take place later after the events of Infinity War.
So this
War.
One I is think, only like 4 months after.
Yeah, very soon, which is why it's still Baby Groot. And then we do see him as Teenager Groot.
Which I really enjoyed.
Was a really funny
Man.
Thing.
I could have taken more of that, less of Baby Groot.
I am Groot.
I am not lame. I loved it.
Yes, it's all good. I'm very confident in James Gunn staying around. I know a lot of people are being kind of sour on this one because I think they were just very surprised at how different a movie the first one was. And obviously, you're not going to be surprised going into this one. It's what you know. It's the Guardians. They don't really tweak it. It's another adventure with people you like. So that James Gunn is part of three, I'm A-okay with.
I also really like, thank God, too, because I love that they've just given James Gunn the Guardians.
I think he's in the Joss Whedon role of dictating or like laying out where Phase 4 is going
cool.
after Infinity
Excellent.
War. I'm like, cool. If it's like things like Thor Ragnarok where we're getting these weird decisions and off choices, do it. I'm more for that.
80s clip art style art? Sure.
God, yeah.
Love it.
God,
I like that James Gunn seems to have also... he has eschewed the problem of most sequels or most, especially middle parts of trilogies, where this... They feel boring and like nothing really happens in them because they are... Just sort of giant setups to a conclusion. This one does not feel like that.
No, it
so
doesn't.
Kudos to that.
This is a very self-contained
one. Yeah, it's very standalone almost.
I also saw complaints about that. Like, oh, there were no Infinity Stones or posters for Thanos. No. Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, like, that's not important. Like,
yeah, who cares?
Know what movie you're getting.
You're about to be fucking blasted over the face with Infinity Stones and Thanos.
Just don't worry about
Enjoy
it.
Enjoy this
just
for what it is.
Yeah, and I think for what it is, as a standalone second movie, I think it's one of the better, I guess, middle movies. But you're not wrong. Like there are some issues, and depending on
who you are, what you like,
yeah, it's gonna go one way or the other for me. For me, I was able to look past it because I really just enjoy these characters. I like the heart and emotion of it, and I thought it was a very funny, quick, efficient movie, which most 2 hour plus movies don't feel like. You feel it, and this one just moved so quickly. It was very entertaining.
Wrapping up.
What about you? What do you think?
I would have liked it more had those two fucking art teachers not been in the audience. I'm sorry.
Who, art teachers? They were art teachers? How
do
you know
that? Well, that's what we talked about them being last night.
Okay.
They had the the personality and dress and attitudes of middle school art teachers. They fucking ruined a lot of things for me because they kept pulling me out of it, and I like to get sucked into movies.
Anytime anything remotely emotional happened, you got a loud, like, oh.
I remember the fucking,
oh.
Just the audible gasp from the two fucking dumb cunts when Ego says that he's the one that put the brain tumor in his mother's head, and they both went, like fucking grasp their. I'm like, really, you dumb bitches? Show Baby Groot, they're gonna say, you fucking show anything remotely funny, they're gonna. The one lady literally slapped her legs multiple times and guffawed like a fucking loon.
Yeah.
So
it was a little weird.
I'd like to just take this time to say that I'm going to be teaching a class on
movie etiquette.
Not just movie, but just. Social graces.
Oh, okay.
So please sign up. It's $29.99.
First
a month.
Rule of thumb, you don't say retard, you say mongoloid. Second rule of thumb.
Artard is also a convenient.
Did that ever get edited out of the other one? Or did
no.
I say it? Okay. So there's reference to why I said that.
Oh, yeah.
Look
mongoloid.
It up. It's probably episode 58.
Mongoloid was a medieval term, much like surf Okay?
Yeah, except one is horribly offensive.
Yeah, to poor people. You don't call them serfs. They actually get money now.
That's how I do all the time at the grocery store. I'm away, serfs.
Pack my groceries, serf. I must get to my home and have my wife cook my dinner in my domicile.
A home? You don't know what a home is? I bet you don't know what a home is.
Yeah, go back to your apartment, serf.
Peasants.
Oh, man, peasants are the worst. It's so great being in the upper middle class. I'm so far from that even. Man, if people had other podcasts to listen to, they would probably abandon us and go listen to them.
I just think from here on out, we get as bad as we can.
Like, sure,
we just,
man.
We like.
I've been waiting for this turn from Ryan.
Not even try, but like the opposite. Like, we try to break this podcast and just see how long it happens. How long can you motherfuckers listen to us?
You kind of have to because we are the only one. We are the only one.
Doing a bad job. We are the only one.
So, unless you find something better, good fucking luck, idiots. You're going to listen to us.
Oh, no, I heard something about this Nerdy 30 podcast that should be pretty good.
Is that the ESPN documentary series?
It is. They Nerdy talk 30? About like their favorite 30 for 30,
Nerdy for 30
shows. Yeah. The best one, the one about OJ.
Oh, man. That is a pretty good one.
It's like 8 hours long. It's fantastic.
All right, buddy. So one quick question before we wrap this up.
Yes.
Who is your favorite Guardian? From Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
From specifically only Volume 2.
Sure. Yep.
Not like from comics or the first one or
just
whatever.
Just this one.
I know yours is Drax.
It's really not. I really enjoy Drax, but
I'm going to have to say Mantis. Okay, maybe because she's new and I like the weird, nervous, awkward energy she brings.
Yeah.
I want to see more of her. But if we're going kind of the originals or whatever, I really respond to Rocket.
Rocket's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Rocket's a hard one to beat. Really, honestly.
He's just a little curmudgeon. I appreciate that.
And this movie, mine, I really enjoyed Gamora.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this?
I don't like... Andrew just made hand jacking off motions. It wasn't even that. I don't know. She opened up a lot more compared to the first one. She was a lot more personable. I don't know. It was just a more interesting character to watch, to see her do things.
Sure.
The fighting that she did partake in seemed a lot more authentic compared to the first one, when it was, especially for Gamora scenes, it was almost like more close up, quick cuts like they do for people that don't know how to fight.
Yeah.
So that was better too. I just enjoyed the evolution of that character in this film.
Sure.
I also really enjoyed Yondu in this
movie. Yondu is great.
He was very close second. So
yeah. Yeah. The whole father versus daddy thing, just great. And I think that line could only be delivered out of Michael Rooker's mouth and come off well.
Yeah.
And it did.
While he's painted blue with a giant red mohawk that's made of metal.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's the most heartwarming moment of 2017.
So far, yeah.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
I also really liked how they seemed to make Yondu's mouth inside blue, too. It's a very nice touch. It didn't look like a dude with just paint on his face. They went that extra step.
They did. I feel like I remember reading that he licked blue lollipops before shooting every scene.
Really?
Well, that worked. That's all he did.
It really works.
I think.
But I mean, even like his gums and like the inside of his cheeks, you can see.
They probably brushed up with
CG. I'm sure, of course. But it is a nice touch because so many movies are just like paint and then a human mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice little subtle thing to really wrap up that whole character that you don't see a lot. So
completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
That's all I got to say, man. I really enjoyed this movie. I think on the whole, I like the first one just a tiny bit better.
Preparation feels great.
Yeah. On the whole, preparation does feel great. This is, yeah, damn.
Nice. Speaking of gold people.
Man, I like them. They were one of my favorite parts, too. When they walked up on the little carpet, and then, of course, it doesn't work for a second.
Yes, uncontraxia. Yeah.
Sure. So, but that's it. That's all I got to say. You, final wrap up.
I think it's great. I think it's a great movie. I think it's Marvel Studios firing on all cylinders. It's what I want in a fucking comic movie.
It's exactly what you want.
There
if you like the first one, you will like the second one.
It's not high art.
Nope.
But it's visually striking, and fun. That's a good time at the movies. There it is. That's all you can say.
All right, buddy. It's good talking to you, man. Thanks for going last night. Thanks for getting my ticket. I always love going to the movies with you. Mm-hmm. So, in the end of this episode, I will advise you to perform analingus. That's still butt stuff, right? And that ties it back to the beginning.
It doesn't have the same ring to it.
Okay. Do butt stuff to each other with your tongues.
Yeah, or somebody else's tongue.
There you go. Yeah. A third party's tongue.
Third tongue.
There you go.
Tongue in there.
Preferably not a dog.
Oh, you know.
But whatever floats your goat. Bye, everybody.
Actually, longer. Probably more muscle in a dog tongue. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy it, you can check us out at experiencegrind.com or find us over at facebook.com/experiencegrind.
Watch me play games on twitch.tv/experiencegrind.
We really like money. We really like money. We really like money. You should give us your money.
Find us on Patreon. Just search for Experience Grind Podcast.
Email us at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. It's current year.
Follow us if you like butt stuff.